Well, hello, radio friends, and once more I greet you in the wonderful name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is your radio evangelist, Minor Hawk, introducing you to another Christ-exalting broadcast of the Voice of the Gospel. And friends, I believe that there's someone listening in today for the very first time. And perhaps you think that it's just a coincidence that you happen to be listening to this program. Ah, listen, my friend. God, I believe, has used His sovereign power to have you tune our way today. Perhaps He knows that you're not prepared for eternity. Perhaps He knows that you're about to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and you're not prepared to meet God. You've never been saved and born again through faith in the cross work of Jesus Christ. Well, friend, if this is the first time you've ever heard this program, then please give heed to the Word of God. I'm here today to open the Holy Bible, and I trust you'll stop whatever you're doing and listen to what God has to say to you today. Now, again, I may be speaking to someone, and you've heard this program many, many times, and you don't realize it, but this may be the last time you'll ever hear the gospel. If so, are you prepared to meet God? Have your sins been washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ? Well, friend, if not, then you too should listen to God's word. In Romans 10 and 17, we read that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee for His great heart of love that caused Him to leave the throne above and come down to this sin-cursed earth and go all the way to Calvary, dying in our guilty room and in our stead. We thank Thee, our God, for the value and the virtue of His shed blood. We thank Thee, our God, that He not only died, but He rose again the third day and is now seated at Thy right hand. Thy word time and time again brings before us the fact that this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And our God, we who are saved today, we thank Thee for the blessed hope we have that one of these days, perhaps today, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come to the air to claim from the world His own. Those of us who've been saved, we're going to be caught up in the air to meet the Savior in the sky. But our God, the joy we have within our own hearts and souls today is somewhat tempered by the knowledge that we have loved ones outside of Christ. Father, we believe that if they're not saved soon, they'll not be saved at all. So, Father, we pray Thy blessing upon Thy word, wherever Christ is being preached today, wherever there's a faithful servant of Thine in fellowship with Thee, telling forth the wonderful story of redeeming love. May it please Thee, our God, by Thy Holy Spirit and through Thy Word, to save precious souls. Father, we'll be so careful to give Thee all the thanksgiving, all the praise, and all the glory, for we ask it in the name of Thy Son, the One whom Thou delightest to honor, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, before we get into the book, into the Bible today, and hear the message, let's listen to a lovely tune, and it's entitled, To God Be the Glory.
Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice.
Now, friends, those of you who have your Bibles or New Testaments handy and would care to follow me as I read the Scripture, I'll be reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Mark chapter 5, and beginning at verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now, friends, here in this portion of the word of God, I believe we have a very good example of God's way of salvation. And I say that because it brings vividly before us the ruin of man and the remedy for that ruin in the person of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Now today, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I should like to very briefly analyze this incident in the life of Jesus Christ. And as I do so, friend, I trust that you who are yet unsaved will allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to your soul and to awaken you from your spiritual slumber before it's eternally too late. Friends, I honestly believe that all signs point to the soon return of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And someday soon, perhaps today, the last gospel message will be preached, the last soul will be saved, and the Lord Jesus Christ will leave the throne above to receive from the world his own. And friends, it's with this urgency in mind that I preach the gospel of God's grace as though it were the last gospel message to be given. Yes, and I believe that there are some listening to my voice today who will never again hear the wonderful story of love. I firmly believe that there are some listening in today who, even if the Lord tarries, will be cold in death a week from today. Mind you, friend, I'm not trying to frighten you into salvation. Oh, no. I'm simply speaking from the heart and seeking to bring before you the brevity of life, the certainty of death, the reality of hell, and the salvation of God. Now then, getting back to our text, Mark chapter 5, we notice here in verse 1 that the Lord Jesus Christ came over unto the other side. And friend, I believe this brings before us the condescension of the Son of God. Yes, it tells us that he left the highest place in glory to come down to this scene of sin and sorrows. Friend, he was the one who was daily the delight of God in eternity past. And yet when the cry went forth in the council chamber of God, who will go? Whom shall I send? He immediately responds, Here am I, send me. Ah, listen, sinner friend. I won't even attempt to explain the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that God was manifest in his Son, and it also tells us that God was in Christ for the purpose of reconciling us back to himself. Now, over in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus Christ said that the reason he came was to seek and to save that which was lost. Again, in Luke 5 and 32, he declared, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Yes, thank God, his Son came over unto the other side. He condescended to take on a human form. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Friends, don't try to understand such love. It just can't be done. You and I only have finite minds, and we can't possibly understand the infinite. But thank God we can believe it. Yes, thank God we can believe it. Now then, in verse 1, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ came over to the other side of the sea and landed in the country of the Gadarenes. Now, friends, listen. Don't let anyone ever tell you that the Scriptures are not inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. The reason I say that is because the word Gadarenes means fortunate. Yes, fortunate. And oh, how true this is. Why, had it not been for the grace of God, we would all be doomed and damned to an eternity in hell. And friend, as you listen to the voice of the gospel program today, you don't realize how fortunate you are, because you're being privileged to hear the word of God and to hear how you can escape the flames of hell through simple faith in Jesus Christ. Friend, you're fortunate that God has extended His day of grace once again so that you can have another chance at salvation. Yes, friend, you're fortunate that God loves you. He loves us sinners so much that He was willing to send Jesus Christ to Calvary's cross to die for our sins. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us back in John 3 and verse 16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Again, in Romans 5 and verse 8 we read, but God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, you're living in the day of God's grace, and you're fortunate. But remember, this may be the last gospel message ever preached. And if you neglect God's great salvation, you'll suffer the terrible torments of hell throughout the countless ages of all eternity. Now, in the second verse, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ was met by a man having an unclean spirit. He was unclean. Listen, my friend. As God looks down from heaven today, have you accepted His Son as your Savior? Well, if not, in His sight, you're unclean. You're unclean. Over in Isaiah 1 and verse 6, God says that from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, you're nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Again, in Isaiah 64 and 6, God declares that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Friend, that's the reason we have to be born again if we ever expect to be in God's heaven. In the sight of a holy God, we're all sinners, and therefore we've all come short of the glory of God. In fact, the psalmist tells us that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Friend, listen. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, God says you're unclean. If you've never been born again by the Spirit of God, God says you're unclean. If you're not resting on the finished work of God's Son, then God says you're unclean. And as an unclean rag in God's sight, you're only fit for the flames of hell. Ah, but friend, you're still living under God's day of grace. And I'm here to tell you that you can be clean in God's sight today through faith in His Son. Over in Isaiah 1 and verse 18 we read, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the Apostle John substantiates this great truth of soul cleansing over in 1 John 1 and 7, where we read that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, we sometimes sing in our gospel meetings, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside those garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, in verse 3 of Mark chapter 5, we read that this fortunate, though unclean man, was dwelling amongst the tombs. Friend, he was dwelling amongst the dead, completely void of spiritual life. And friend, God says that the condition of every unredeemed sinner listening in today is the fact that you're spiritually dead in trespasses and in sin. And furthermore, you're living in a world that is likewise dead to the things of God. Yes, this world is dead to the cause of Christ. It's dead to the preaching of the gospel. And it's just like one huge graveyard where faithful heralds of the cross are crying in vain to bring people out of their spiritual complacency and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, moving along to verse 4, we read concerning the man with the unclean spirit that neither could any man tame him. In other words, as far as human efforts were concerned, it was completely ineffectual. Man couldn't help him. No, man can't help man's sinful condition. He was beyond the realm of man's achievement because he had tried man's remedies and they had all failed miserably. Listen, friends, this fact brings vividly before us that man's best is but failure in God's sight. Man is seeking to cure his own diseased soul with a homemade remedy. He's trying to please God with church membership, religious rituals, reformation, or so-called good works. But friend, according to the Word of God, nothing apart from faith in Jesus Christ can make you fit for heaven. No, trying to do the best you can will never guarantee you a seat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, friend, from the Garden of Eden on down to the present time, mankind has been seeking to tame or to cure his own sinful condition. Adam and Eve, you recall, sought to cover their sinfulness or nakedness by tying fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. Ah, but it didn't work, because it failed to please God. And you know, friends, mankind has been in the apron-making business ever since Adam and Eve. Yes, after 6,000 years, man is still trying to hide his sins from God. Today, men and women all over the world are depending upon what other creatures have told them concerning the way to heaven. They just refuse to listen to the Word of God. Over there in Titus 3 and verse 5, God declares that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. And over in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we're told, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Friend, listen. Listen. If you're depending upon your so-called good works to take you to heaven, God says you'll be in hell. If you're resting upon your church membership and religious heritage to take you to heaven, God says you'll be in hell. And if you're depending upon man's words and ideas to lead you to heaven, well, friend, God, not I, but God says you'll be in hell. Friend, as sure as you're listening to my voice today, if you're not saved through faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you die, your soul will go to the place of eternal damnation. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ told the very religious, though unsaved Nicodemus, back in John 3 and 3, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now that's what Jesus said, friend. So if you can't recall a time when, place where, and manner how you were born from above into the family of God, then friend, according to Jesus Christ, you're on your way to hell. Now listen, friend, you who are saved out there in Radio Land today, you who profess to be saved, if you're really a child of God, you know the time in your life. You can recall the experience. You may forget whether or not it was Tuesday or Wednesday, or whether it was July or August, but you recall the experience of passing from spiritual death unto spiritual life. I will say one thing, too. Some people are depending upon the fact that they went to an altar as the reason they expect to be in God's heaven. Well, friend, I want you to know that the altar doesn't save anyone. Now, that doesn't mean you couldn't be saved at an altar, but you could just as easily have been saved in the seat in which you were sitting before you went to the altar. There are souls down in hell today that got to an altar that never got to Jesus Christ. There are souls in hell today that have a time when, a place where, and a manner how they supposedly got saved. But, my friend, they never truly trusted in the shed blood of Jesus Christ to take them into God's heaven. In many cases, they were never convicted of their need of a Savior. Friend, there can be no conversion without conviction. And conviction of sin is just as essential to the salvation of your soul as is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, our unclean man here in Mark chapter 5 couldn't be tamed or cured by man, but thank God he came to the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we read in verse 6 that when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran to him. My, wouldn't it be wonderful today if some of you listening to this program would see Jesus afar off and run to Him? Yes, this man ran to the right person, all right, because Jesus Christ and He alone can save the souls of mankind. In Acts 4 and 12, Peter says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved." Jesus Christ Himself declares in John 10 and 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." So, friend, this man with the unclean spirit came to the right person. He didn't go to the rabbi because the rabbi couldn't help him. He didn't go to the disciples either because they couldn't tame him at all. But he went to Jesus Christ, God's Son, and he knew that he was the only one who could help him. Now, I wonder if the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to someone in Radio Land right now. He has shown you your true condition in God's sight. Even though you may be religious, He's shown you that you're lost. You've never been saved or born again. He has created within you a desire to be saved. And He has pointed you to Jesus Christ afar off, dying in your guilty room and in your stead. He has shown you the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. If so, my friend, just do like this man did in Mark chapter 5. Take a step towards Jesus Christ, and it will be the wisest choice you ever made. I know, because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord back on June the 2nd of 1952, and I've never regretted it for one moment. In fact, if it were possible today for you who are unsaved to speak to everyone in the world who is saved and ask them the question, are you sorry you accepted Christ as your Savior? Friend, there wouldn't be one that could honestly say, I regret having done so. No, everyone that is saved thanks God every day for the great salvation provided through the death of God's Son. Now then, moving along to verse 7, we read that this man with the unclean spirit acknowledged Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And as such, he and he alone could cure his filthy condition. You know, this brings to my mind the one thief on the cross who, after having acknowledged his own guilt, looked upon the sinless Savior dying by his side, and here's what he cried out in despair. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And you recall how Jesus Christ replied with love and compassion, today. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Listen, friends, if you expect to be in heaven when you die, you'll have to first of all acknowledge your lost, guilty, and unclean condition in God's sight. Then you'll have to acknowledge with a contrite and repentant heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died on the cross for your sins. Yes, friends, and the moment you do that, according to God's Word, you'll be saved. You'll be converted. You'll be born again, this time, spiritually speaking, into the family of God. Now, someone might be asking, well, will I feel anything? Friend, listen, feelings have absolutely nothing to do with salvation. It isn't a question of feeling you're saved. It's a question of knowing you're saved. I don't feel saved today, but I know I'm saved because God's Word says so. I'm not depending upon my feelings. I'm depending upon the truthfulness of God. Now, there may be some listening in today, and you've always been under the impression that becoming a Christian was a gradual metamorphosis or development. But listen, friends, that's not the case at all, because every instance of salvation and healing recorded in Scripture was one of instantaneousness. In verse 8 of our text, we read that the unclean man was cured immediately. In Luke chapter 18, the publican was saved immediately. In Luke 19, Zacchaeus was saved immediately. In Luke 23, the thief on the cross was saved immediately. In Acts 16, the Philippian jailer was saved immediately. Yes, friend, the very moment you receive Jesus Christ by faith as your own and personal Savior, that moment you become a child of God, and you'll be as sure of heaven as though you were already walking the street of gold. Now, friends, as I bring to a close another Voice of the Gospel broadcast, I plead with you, in view of eternity and in love for your soul, please accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior right now. Don't put it off. Tell the devil you've served him long enough, and tell the Lord Jesus Christ that you realize you're a sinner and you want him to be your Savior, your Master, your Lord, and your guide. And friend, if you place your trust in the sin-cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, this will be the happiest moment of your life. So do it now, friend, while the Holy Spirit of God is striving for your soul. You know, back in Genesis 6 and 3, God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Again, he declares in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And then I think of that warning given by a faithful God over in Proverbs 29 and verse 1. He that being often reproved, hard at his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Did you hear that, friend? Here's what God says, and I believe he's speaking to someone listening to my voice right now. Someone to whom the Holy Spirit of God has been speaking to during this radio broadcast. Yes, God wants you to be saved right now, and the devil doesn't want you to accept Christ as your Savior, and so God warns you in love and faithfulness in Proverbs 29 and 1. He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So friend, whoever you are, and wherever you may be today, listening to this radio program, right now, believe with all your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence today at the close of another radio broadcast, thanking thee for the privilege we've had of preaching Christ and him crucified. Father, we believe that the coming of the Lord is very near. We believe that the day of thy grace is quickly drawing to a close. And there are loved ones outside of Christ. There are those near and dear to thy people. And yet, our God, they're strangers to grace and to God. Father, if they're listening in today, may it please thee by thy Holy Spirit and through thy word to bring both conviction and conversion to their soul. Give them neither rest nor peace till they find it in thy beloved Son. We'll be so careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. And if I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. If you'd like to have some basic and fundamental gospel literature, I'd be happy to send it to you without cost or obligation to you. You just send your name and address, that's your name and address, to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. Now, McKeesport is spelled capital M-C, capital K-E-E-S-P-O-R-T. That address again is the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. And now onto our next broadcast, if the Lord doesn't come. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.